welcome to the Mac Show. Yes, we're here to discuss the week in Mac, all the stuff that's gone on with Apple. We've had a bit of a late shortfall. Andy Anatko was supposed to be here, but he's forgotten and he's coming next week instead. Adam is gone AWOL. No idea where he is, but we'll find out, I'm sure. Melissa, the Mac Mommy, is coming. She's on her way, but she's stuck after seeing a client. Patrice isn't coming, and I missed it because I thought he was coming. And that leaves Doc and Chuck to join in with me.
You don't have to say it like such.
What?
When you said it in a manner that's like, oh, we just got Doc and Chuck.
No. What I'm saying is the jewels in the crown have remained.
Now we're talking. I like that.
Now we're talking. See? So there's all these other people that should have been here to make five for the panel up, six of us in total. There's only going to be three of us, but quality will not be diminished, not by a long stretch, because we got Doc and Chuck. Fellas, I'm going to... What line are we on? Line three. How you doing, Doc?
I'm doing good. And now, next time I'm told to take out the rubbish, I'm going to be like, I cannot. Because I'm royalty, because Ewan said I was a crown jewel.
Yep, exactly.
And then I'm going to kick you in the crown jewels and you're going to take the damn trash out.
is that the missus? Yeah, you don't say no to the missus, mate. Christ, it's just ridiculous. What you been up to?
Oh, man, busy. I just got this order to do 1,000 of the same bottles. So I've been staring at blue flasks for this prestigious school for like a week. And I'm not even halfway through yet. It's going to be crazy. So that's all I've been doing.
Bad luck. Next to him, Chuck Joyner. How's it going, pal?
I'm doing good, Ewan. How are you?
I'm all right. Now, have you, you've come back from, you made the trek to San Francisco.
I did indeed, for WWDC and the Alt Conference.
Excellent. And it was a worthwhile trip?
Yeah, it always is. Just if for no other reason, just to see friends and connect with people. You always end up meeting people that 6 months down the road you get back in touch with, or they get in touch with you and say, hey, I've got this cool thing. And so that's why I go. I'm not a dev, so I don't go to DubDub itself. I mean, it wouldn't make sense for me to take up a slot and keep a programmer out, even if I could get in. So that's kind of why I go. But yeah, it's always a good time.
Excellent. Have either of you managed to put any of the betas on, the developer betas?
I have all three running because I'm working on revamping my app. And, you know, the thing that's the most surprising to me is, for the many years of doing this, I guess the answer is 9. This is the most stable of the betas with all three betas, especially the watch beta is extremely stable. But then again, you're still not doing so much to it because a lot of the apps aren't necessarily ready to be futzing around. But the system beta and the iOS 10 beta are marvelously stable. There are some weird app idiosyncrasies, but the funny thing is it will tell you this app is not optimized to run on iOS 10, so it might be goofy. And again, it didn't used to say that before. Things would just crash and fizzle and pop. So, you know, without giving too much away, I'm pretty amazed at the stability of the beta.
I mean, what was your feedback from the developers, Chuck, when you saw them there? Because they would have got the beta just before the rest of us, wouldn't they?
They seem to be really, you know, excited about a lot of the features. I mean, no question about it. I haven't loaded it on anything simply because I don't like to sacrifice a production machine, you know, just to play around with something that may or may not end up there. So, you know, but the overall response, it's really cool because when I watch the keynote, when I'm there, of course, I'm in the Alt Conference room, and it's really cool to sit in a room full of developers and hear what their reactions are, trying to gauge what I'm excited about as a user may not hit them a whole lot, but what hits them as developers is always surprising and delightful to hear cheers and applause, even though they're watching the video stream just like the rest of us.
There's no one taking the piss like us, then.
No, I don't believe so. No.
Oh, that's a shame.
You know what's amazing, Ewing? You remember maybe like 2 years ago, I had my little sticker app going, and the primary focus of that was in order for it to be a keyboard level sticker app. But we ran into some problems halfway through development. We couldn't figure out this one bug that was just killing it. So we kind of scrapped it and we went to a standalone app, and it worked, but I think part of the reason why we didn't get the traction that we got is because, you know, Disney GIF keyboard and some of the other GIF-oriented keyboards were there, and I was like, this kind of sucks because we have a great set of icons, but there's no real cool way to use it. So one of the first things I did was once I deployed the developer OS X beta onto my phone and put the the Xcode 8 on my machine, I went in, started messing around with Swift. They have some, like, these are new in Swift. These are things you can mess around with. So you're kind of doing the following the book examples just so you can know where the buttons have moved, you know, per se in the SDK. I was like, yeah, this is really cool, whatever. So I bust out the Apple TV, and if you have an Apple TV, you can watch all of the WWDC talks. And one of the talks was about setting up your keyboard to use iMessage extensions. And iMessage extensions is a new foundation that they've added with the current SDK. Literally within a half an hour of watching that video, which is also a half an hour and about two glasses of whiskey, I was able to recreate my entire app that before was me and four developers. I did it by myself in about 30 minutes whilst drinking Ewan hated heavily peated scotch. And it totally works. Like, I started texting Patrice right away, and he's like, you did that? I thought you needed me to fix it. I was like, no, it's way simpler. It's way easy. And literally you just, you know, make your images adjust into the size of the PNG, what you need. You drag it in and you press deploy. And I'm like, okay, so where's the part where I write, you know, all of this code that I need to write? And it doesn't even exist. Like, it's kind of crazy how simple it is.
Are you suggesting that I might be able to do it?
All day. All day. I mean, we said last week you could pass it off to Patrice or I, one of us will do it for you, but you actually could do it. I can show you how on a Skype call, and you will be tickled pink, or in the case of bad wins, you'd be tickled pinker.
That could be dangerous, yeah. Anything that grabbed you, Chuck, that you thought, wow, I really want to do this?
You know, obviously, again, from the user perspective, the watch stuff is the stuff that I think I get most excited about, because that's the one piece that felt borderline revolutionary. If there was anything revolutionary, it was the way that some of the watch stuff has been redone. The rest felt evolutionary, and that's not. Some people seem to see that as a dirty word. I don't. You know, I think it's just a natural extension of where things have been and where they're going. So I felt like it was a good, solid keynote. I mean, there was nothing that blew my socks off. But at the same time, there was a lot of good stuff there that I'm anxious to see implemented.
Yeah, no, I think that, I mean, I took the piss a little bit during the keynote stuff because people were just whooping and hollering over the fact that there was one, you know, like, you could see multiple exercise rings on one screen. And I'm like, well, that's great. Great. But steady on. You know, let's, you know, and people are out of their seats at this point. And no, calm down. You're acting like Doc now. And, so it's that was what kind of wound me up a little bit. But the thing that's quite interesting is the story this week, and I've just put the links in the chat room to the two stories that are on Mac Rumors. Apple confirms unencrypted, or first of all, people noticed there was an unencrypted kernel for iOS 10 beta. And Apple have confirmed that unencrypted kernel is intentional. This is not a screw-up. They are letting people in at the deepest, darkest levels of iOS 10. And I wonder what the thoughts were, whether that's hugely positive in terms of the developer front or whether that's hugely negative in the fact of the security front.
From what I saw something about this morning that, you know, and I guess it was late last night, actually, that it came out and then they confirmed it as intentional. And the idea is to let people get down in the depths of the kernel, that any bugs in there are going to come out faster because there are going to be more people looking at it. And then presumably it'll be encrypted once it comes out of this phase and goes into either a public beta or into an actual release.
Well, the other thing that's key to know is that the kernel cache doesn't contain any user info, which is, I mean, sort of obvious, I guess. But, you know, the point is, you're not, your data, as what, you know, you and slightly alluded to, isn't of, I guess, what's the word, in any more danger with this availability. It just makes it a little bit simpler for coding and getting things done correctly.
Is there any of this that's going to carry over, though, after the beta? Because, I mean, there's going to be a lot of stuff in there that's going to be really useful for devs to work on.
I think that really depends on the feedback that they get from the developers during the beta. Like, if all the developers seem to like it and like, wow, I can do this so much simpler and I was able to do this and whatnot, I think that that will give Apple cause to leave it open. And if it doesn't really provide the things that, you know, a lot of people would think that they want, and then they will say, all right, we're going to shut it back down. I don't know.
A comment from Bronwyn in the chat room. She says, huge negative in my paranoid American distrusting government mind because it lets anybody insert malicious something in there. But I don't think it does in the beta. It's a viewable thing. It doesn't let you put anything in there, does it?
Mm-mm.
It's only access to it to see what it's got.
Well, yeah, and again, like I just stated, probably at the same time she was typing, but I'll reiterate, your user data info does not get stored in that portion of the kernel cache. Yeah. That's something that oftentimes gets handled by various secure enclaves, and therefore they're not really accessible.
There was a big point from Adam last week where he talked about the fact that, you know, the underlying thing was Apple have gone for a very much an openness in terms of APIs are out for everyone. Interactions between Siri and third-party applications is going to be viable now, which it wasn't before. And is this just part of that openness? And will, you know, if there's a policy of openness, then surely some of this may carry over.
You know, I think there's some really cool stuff that in a way is a little bit freaky, but at the same token, I can see where it would come in handy. And, you know, I hope I'm not disclosing something that people didn't know, but it's kind of a simple thing. It's no biggie. If you're driving around now and say you go to the mall, when you get at the mall and you park your car, you start walking in and it goes, hey, listen, old man, in case you forget, you parked your car right here. It literally drops a pin and it shows a thing on the notification screen that says, this is where you parked your car. So as you're traipsing around, I've never seen this behavior before, by the way. So as you're traipsing around the mall, you're doing what you have to do. I come out of the Apple store. I got all this kit in my hand. And then I feel my leg buzz. I pull the phone out and it says, oh, your car is over here. And I'm like, this is insane, but it's kind of cool and it's kind of creepy at the same time. Like, I don't need my phone to remind me where my car is. I'm not that old yet, but I can see that many people will enjoy such a thing, but it's kind of hilarious.
I'd be surprised if Apple did any kind of compromise on privacy issues. I mean, that seems to be so much of their message right now, that they are not, they don't want to risk your privacy. They don't want to collect anything. So anything that compromises that, it does seem, I don't know, to me anyway, that when there comes that point between trying to choose a capability and privacy, that they're erring on the side of privacy and maybe making us wait a little more on the capability. Is it good? I don't know. But it does seem to be a pattern.
Yeah, I can't see Apple downgrading security after all of the grief that they had with FBI over the San Bernardino iPhone, and they're still getting from the NYC stuff. So, but there is a definite lack of. I was driving today to go and pick Muller up from his house, and I wanted to say send him a glimpse, and of course I can't. All I can do is send him a text via Siri, and even that didn't work. You know, hence my fury last week at Siri. That it doesn't work, but it's just there needs to be a bigger openness in terms of what Apple is going to provide for developers to work on. Otherwise, you know, the bit that Tim started off with last week about, you know, developers. I know that's not him. Makes no sense. He started off by saying everything we need is about apps that are created by developers, and without that, we're lost. And then shut it down into a sandboxed environment of being an utter desert and you get nothing.
Well, you're trying to strike a balance. And, you know, that's any time you try to do that, there's a gray zone. And so, you know, which end of the gray zone do you want to be in? And Apple seems to can constantly be on the privacy end of the gray zone.
Yeah. And you think, so where are they going on that spectrum now then, Chuck? Where's the end point?
Well, that's a good question. This whole differential privacy thing. I mean, there's been a lot of buzz about that in the week and a half now we've had since Dub, trying to figure out just how legitimate it is as a concept and how useful it is. And I'm not smart enough to know, but the little bit that I've read, it's very definitely a real thing. And then you start to question, okay, so with the volume of information that Apple would be putting into a differential privacy engine, and I'm making up the terms as I go, you know, how much quality information can they get back out? That's yet to be seen, because apparently nobody's done it.
I mean, there's the other point as well. Is there a negative from Apple, from our viewpoint, in that Apple open everything up? All we're doing is supplying a greater quantity of information for them to then work upon. They're at the Facebook level of data manipulation.
Not if the privacy, the differential privacy, is as advertised. I mean, it sounds like it's a one-way street. You're giving them information, but they can't apply it to you. They can apply it to the herd, but they can't apply it necessarily directly to you. And so it sounds like the best of Google, but with privacy. And that's, I mean, that's kind of exciting if it can work. And if it doesn't, or if you're comfortable giving it all up, then give it all up to Google and, you know, you'll have it. But I personally am not comfortable with giving that much. There are Google products I use, and I don't mind giving up the privacy for those, or at least up to this point, I haven't minded. But, you know, then you start seeing more and more things targeted at you, and you do have to wonder just how much they know about you and what effect that is having on everything that is coming your way.
Yeah. Doc, any thoughts?
I'm in this weird thing where I don't feel at this point in time they've done anything shady enough for us to attack them. But at the same token, it is insane not to be ambient aware of what other people are doing or some of the other things that have happened out there. And sorry, gang, that was Adam. He forgot he had to skip today. I'm sorry.
That's okay.
All right. I will text him and says, Ewan says, sawed off. Man, I'm still typing sawed off. How you spell sawed off? No, I'm joking. He said proceed without me. But anyway, yeah, like at this point in time, they still get a pass, but I totally understand where the paranoia comes from. I'm not quite there yet, but like I said, there are some things that if the government has their way, like, I think I would totally become a tinfoil hat right after that, you know? So right now I was holding up their end of the bargain, but it'll be super scary if they started letting out the cat out of the bag.
Yeah.
That's where I'm at right now.
That's cool. That's fair enough. Dozens of developers have collaborated on a project called Pearl. Former Apple employees have teamed up to launch a rear vision vehicle camera. I looked at this and I thought, that is kind of cool. Well done. But then I thought, have you gone for a bit of a niche market there? Because there's not a lot of cars that don't have a reversing camera on them for new sales anymore. Part of their elbow, you know, great, but at $500, it seems a little bit pricey, and B, I can't think the market's anything other than fairly limited. Have I got that wrong?
No.
No.
The only thing
that would make me tempted is, I just bought a new car, so I know the answer. The upgrade for rear-facing camera on the i3 was like $900. And maybe if this was real and it was baked and I knew that it was functional, I could have possibly said, okay, I forego the rear camera just so I can stick on the Pearl, which would be cheaper. But the rear-facing camera is integrated with the dashboard on my car. I don't want to have to look at my tiny phone screen. The dashboard screen is massive.
To be fair, they've got a thing that mounts here onto a CD slot and stuff like that. So they thought about it.
My car don't have a CD slot.
All right. Okay, fair enough.
it's on Bluetooth A2DP. What the hell they need a CE slot for?
Okay, maybe it was mainly,
that's so. Why it's funny. So you're right. I think if you go by what your original statement is, it's for the older cars that A, don't have the, you know, backup camera, or that might still contain a place to put in an antiquated circular disc full of opportunes. Maybe then it makes sense. And I do believe the older, slightly older car market is a huge, huge market. So it's possible that there's viability there.
Thoughts, Chip?
Yeah, I think this is a great idea, except for the fact that it looks like, and I obviously don't have one to play with it, but it looks like you're going to have to dedicate your phone to becoming your backup camera. And my phone serves a lot of purposes when I'm in the car. So if they could get this in some fashion integrated with Waze or Apple Maps or even Google Maps or something, so that, all right, if my car figures out it's going in reverse, then it kicks on. That would help. But by that time, I may have already gone 3, 4, 5 feet before it can sense it. So how sensitive do you make that? It looks great. And certainly the demo video looked fantastic from a safety standpoint. From an actual user standpoint, I want to like it. But at $500, not so sure.
Yeah, the demo video looks nice, but then it should. And the integration you'd like is with your reverse gear, surely. So it comes on when you integrate with your reverse gear, not. It senses you moving backwards or something using the accelerometer. Then, hang on, we're in a different field. But yeah. I looked at it and thought, well, it looks nice. And I like the idea your number plate goes in it. But I just thought, and that's all the price tag. I mean, I'll spend money on shit. Me and my money are easily parted, but not for that when it comes to tech anyway. So... Not having it. Sorry. 3D Touch in iOS 10 is more responsive. Responds to notifications, share apps, adjust control center settings, and lots more.
Yes.
Am I missing the point? Because I haven't got 3D Touch. I've only got my standard iPhone 6 Plus here, which, you know, I'll quite happily go to 7, provided there's a bit of a leap in September. But the bit that I thought about this is that 3D, am I missing the point, because I haven't got it, that 3D Touch is nothing different than the long press? Or with the 6S, am I getting the long press and I'm getting 3D Touch on top of that?
Yes, you get the long press and 3D Touch.
Right, okay.
And there is a distinct difference, and 3D Touch is amazing. Like, I use it so often. But I will tell you this. There are many, many, many people I know with new phones that when they see me, they're like, how did you do that? I go, what do you mean, how do I do that? 3D Touch. And they go, does my phone have that? And I'm like, yeah, your phone has that. And they're like, oh, I never used that before. And so there's many people that don't even know it exists, and they have it, and they've had it for going, what is now, June? They've had it for 9-10 months already, and they don't even know. So it does take some getting used to doing it, and also hunting for the apps that work with it. So whenever I download a new app, one of the first things I do when it's in dormant mode is see if there's a 3D touch from the icon, and then figure out what that does. And then I use it a lot, but it definitely took a little bit of forcing yourself to this new adaptation. Hmm. Once you do it, you will be in love with it. It does so much, especially from the notification screen.
Chuck, are you a 6 man or a 6S?
6S plus.
So what do you think of it?
I'm with Doc. In those apps that have trained me to use it, yeah, it's fantastic. I mean, it's so responsive. In fact, it's. I think one of the problems has been that the enough developers haven't adopted it, because I start to forget that it's there. In fact, I just pushed down on an app that I won't name that I use every day, and it just, you know, vibrated under my finger and nothing happened. So I don't have the option.
Level app?
So I'm sorry.
Is it a Jeff Gamet level app that you're afraid to tell us?
No. It's just, I don't want to slam the developer, because, you know, by the time this is out, they may have implemented it. But it's one of those things. It's such a cool thing. It's such a useful thing where you have it. You just kind of need to have it everywhere. And so I'm with Doc. You know, got to try to train yourself a little bit. Make sure you know which of your frequently used apps have it, and then figure out whether it's useful for you. But yeah, it's. I mean, it's, to me, it's kind of like asking, is the force press on the trackpad or a right click or whatever, depending on what you're using, is that useful to bring up a contextual set of menus? Yeah, I think it very much is.
I mean, the interesting thing is I've got a MacBook, I've got the Air 2, and I sit with my thumb on the home button for far longer than I should, waiting for it to start. And I'll be like, because it sits in a 12 South holder on the right hand side here, and I just keep it for watching the cricket and that kind of stuff. And I'll sit there and stick my thumb in it, and I'm just sitting there while I'm doing other stuff here, watching other stuff, reading something. And I'll be sitting thinking, that hasn't started yet. Why hasn't that started yet? And then I realise I've got to swipe and put my bloody passcode in. Do you do the same with 3D Touch? Are you sitting there kind of, you know, pressing and pressing hard and thinking, come on, come on, and it's not doing it?
Actually, no, because it's super responsive. It's kind of, sometimes it can be too responsive, to be honest with you. But it's super responsive. And I'll give you a prime example. Now, I was going to save this for the tips, but I'll come up with another pick instead of just using a tip as a pick, which is kind of lazy. For instance, Instagram. If you hold down on the icon, one of the things that gives you is the ability to share something, switch to a different account. You can search, or you can view your activity, or you can generate a new post. So I often use it to switch the account before I log in, because I have sat down and written an entire post for Instagram and realize I'm putting it to my personal account and not my business account. Now, one of the other things that's cool about that is something that Instagram just recently launched this week. If you have a personal account and a business account, before, when you were posting something to your business account, it would want to share it to your personal Facebook page. Well, this week they've added the ability to select which of your business Facebook pages you can send it to rather than your, you know, home timeline. And now, again, that makes it easier. When I go in to switch an account and I go to post something, it would literally share it in the right place without having to fully open the app. Like, I can just do that outside, and that kind of eliminates the writing the post for the wrong account, which there's no simple way to switch it once you've already written a post. You kind of got to copy and paste your text, and it's just more of a headache. So, I mean, that's one of the prime examples of the app that I use all the time. The other one is camera. When you go to launch the camera, I can launch it where I want to launch it to, rather than open it and do all of the swiping and then possibly miss your moment.
Yeah, they were saying that the new 7's going to have a completely different interface for opening the camera. It's, you know, that it's going to be almost up and show the camera if you really want it to.
That's cool.
Yeah.
And I use it for Apple's Notes. And so, you know, push down and very quickly without having to open the app and figure out something, I've got new note, new photo, new sketch.
Yeah.
So that's a piece of cake if something is happening very quickly in front of me, or if I just don't want to go through all those steps.
Now then, Muller and I have discovered the Amazon Now app, Prime Now, and we were going to test it tonight, and we were going to order a bottle of whiskey and see if it turned up before the end of the show. But we've had a few issues because Muller's tried to do it from his account, and he's tried to swap the delivery address, and they've blocked his account because they think it's been hacked. So I've had to order it. I only ordered it 15 minutes ago. So it might not make it before the end of the show. It might come between the big show and now, which is really a waste of 30 quid on a decent whiskey. So we'll let you know. We're still going to drink it. Yeah, don't get me wrong. But it was the test of the product.
I'm bummed. We don't have it here in Hawaii for obvious reasons. But when I was in Vegas in December, I just had to do it because I wanted to. And so there was this thing where on your first order, they were giving you like $20 off whatever it was you ordered. So I ordered RAM for the iMac while I was at the hotel just to see what would happen. And it was a beautiful experience. The only thing that kind of bit me in the butt is my hotel was kind of stupid, and they charged me $10 to get a package delivered to the front desk.
No.
So in the end, my RAM was the same as if I just bought it regular price and send it home. But it was still worth it. It was still cool. It was a very unique experience to order something and have it show up 45 minutes later.
I was hoping that I was going to get me whiskey and I was going to go, da-da, we got the whiskey. And that was going to be my pick, was the Amazon Prime Now app. But it's not going to happen.
I can tell you when I was in Vegas too, Doc, but I was in April for NAB, and I know there were a number of people talking about how they forgot this, they forgot that, or they wanted, you know, some snacks or whatever to go to the hotel room, and they didn't go to the hotel lobby and pay those prices, or the lobby store. You know, they just do Amazon Prime Now and have it delivered, and it ended up being cheaper than that and more convenient. Although I think that the hotels are going to figure this out pretty quick, and you're right, put charges on it.
Yeah. See, I'm assuming the Golden Nugget figured it out quick because downtown is more country than in the strip. So I was in downtown and they probably figured it out right away. People are not buying from the sundry store. due to the fact that you can order all of this cool stuff on, you know, Prime Now. But it's amazingly fast, so.
I would never have suggested that Vegas would be short at extorting money from you, Dirk. I mean, it goes without saying, doesn't it?
Yeah, good at that.
I want an honest conversation here, chats, because I am getting sick and tired of this conversation. Absolutely. iPhone in 2016 will have the headphone jack removed. And there won't be any major changes that come until 2017. That's the second time I've heard that. I've got another story that says iPhone 7 rumored to ship with standard 3.5mm ear pods and a lightning adapter. And another story that says that the iPhone 7 is going to come with dual SIM trays.
I say yes on the no headphones, just mostly for aquaproofing the phone.
Yeah.
Everything else kind of doesn't really matter. Is definitely for aquaproofing. Like, I being an audiophile, I'm praying that somehow the information that comes out of Lightning port would give me a higher fidelity audio. I do concede that the general population could care less, and that's probably due to the general population loves ill-formed music like that of the Beeb and that of the Swift. So, yeah, that's... I'm sure most people don't care about the audio quality, but I would love the fact that it's a little bit more moisture resistant. And the dual SIM tray thing would just be epic, not just for the traveler in me, but it would be really cool to have my business line and my personal line in the same phone without having to use a VoIP app that requires a little hoop jumping in order to answer the phone. Like, my VoIP app rings first and it goes, hey, you have a call. Do you want to accept it? Press one. I got to press that. And then people are like, I was just about to hang up. And I was like, God, I got to figure out a way to make this quicker. And my VoIP app won't do it. You know? So I'm for both of those.
You know, and I don't care. I mean, I'm with Doc. It would be nice to have that, you know, the dual SIM, the lightning adapter. Yeah. So what? So we have, you know, you have another adapter. I mean, if you really only use the headphone jack for the headphone jack, then take the lightning adapter, put a piece of duct tape around it, or have it lock into the headphones. Have the adapter lock onto the headphone jack very securely, and it's not going to be any different than plugging in. I mean, if you're going to use wired headphones, the big question is what is Apple going to come out with in the way of Bluetooth headphones that will take away the necessity of the cord and the adapter?
Well, I think they don't have to, because everybody already has those. I mean, like $20, you can buy a decent set of Bluetooth headphones from the
decent Amazon
set? / Alibaba.
Well, yeah, well, that's it. You know, everybody has their own favorite headphones. And so I'm hoping that, you know, for the people that want higher quality, you know, maybe Apple will give them something that. On the other hand, look at how popular the white headphones are, the jacked in ones. You know, they're okay, but they're not audiophile by any means. Yet they're fine for so many people. So if Apple comes out with something similar in the way of Bluetooth and bundles it with it, you know, wow! I mean, why not?
I think that proves a certain point that most people don't really care about the audio quality if everyone is using the stock headphones. And I would say probably more than 60-70% of people use the stock headphones. One thing that's interesting to note as well is that there is a current Lightning headphone out. I forget the name of the company, but they're crazy expensive. Like, they're over $1,000 for some quote-unquote audiophile Lightning-oriented headphones. The name skips me completely, but.
Don't know. It's an interesting question. You know, there are going to be people that are going to be unhappy with it. But as long as there's an adapter out there, then they can still use their favorite headphones and they have just one little hoop to jump through and they get the benefit of better waterproofing. And you know, the thing that I'll be curious about is, can the audio go both ways? Because it can in the headphone jack. You can use it as an audio input right now.
Yeah.
And so that would seem to smooth that out and probably provide a superior solution if you're trying to get audio into your iPhone.
Actually, I think that's automatic, because you look at all of the music equipment that's available for the iPad and the iPhone and GarageBand that does allow music in, like from Focusrite and various other vendors. And Mueller, you have never, ever heard me say I like Dre's. If anything, I slam Dre's because they sound like ass. I do have two pair because they were free, and I'm not passing up on $500 headphones for free, but I can't stand Beats. They're horrible.
That's a plane, by the way.
I don't know where he got that from.
That's a plane landing, if anyone can hear it. Sorry.
Is that the Amazon Prime plane?
No, it's not. I've just got a bloody message that it's cancelled. I'm going to have to do it in the big show because I've tried to reorder and it says, oh, no, 1 hour delivery is not available on that item. 10 till 12 only. And I'm not waiting here till 12 o'clock at night.
That's because they don't want you to get. Oh, that's right. It's nighttime over there. I was going to say, they don't want you to get the whiskey too early.
I wanted to recommend the Prime app, Prime Now app on iOS, but actually, it's a massive fail. Muller's got it right. He's put OD
because you didn't get your whiskey.
A man and his whiskey should never be separated by a crap app. No. Apple announced kids camps. Yes, they're coming back through the summer. I've got to say kudos to Apple because Ellis is desperate to go to these things every year and it never works out on timings and stuff like that for him. I think he's been to one. Bryony's champing at the bit. She wants to have a go as well. But these kings are usually really, really good. They've been announced in United States, Canada, China, France, Germany, Hong Kong, Italy, Japan, Netherlands, Spain, Sweden, Switzerland, Turkey and the United Kingdom. That's in alphabetical order just in case. Any thoughts on it? Any of you guys had experience with kid camps? Did you ever teach any of those?
I used to teach in there. It's so much fun.
Yeah.
Like, I'm like, man, these kids are way smarter than I was when I was their age, and I consider myself pretty smart. These kids are amazing, and it was always fun to do camp, and we would give out the little patches and stuff like that, you know, but it was just so great the way these guys would light up. What I do think is really cool this go-around is before we used to kick the parents out of the store while we were doing it, so they would kind of be sitting out on the carpet watching their little minions run around. But now the parents can actually sign up in certain locations to take the camp with the kids. And then the parents are learning and the kids are learning together and they work on programs together, which I think is a really cool idea.
That is cool.
Just because here in the U.S., we need much more parental bonding than, you know, what we grew up with.
Yeah. Chuck, any thoughts?
I don't have kids. I have never attended one of the camps, but I think it's absolutely fantastic. I think this, from an Apple standpoint, it just makes huge sense to get these kids engaged in iOS and the whole Apple ecosystem. But just from a technology standpoint, I think it's fantastic that you're doing the same thing, even if it is from an Apple bias, because this is the world these kids are growing up and living in and they're going to be working in. And the sooner you get them engaged in it, the better off all of us are going to be.
Definitely.
Well, let's not let the complete escape, because I know you would bring it up, so I'll save him the trouble. They definitely do sell a lot of kit during camps because kids are like, yes, mom, this is the one I want. Like, this was so much fun. And, you know, I promise to do better in school. I literally heard the preaching and the screaming and the yelling and the, know, like begging, cavorting, like whatever it takes to get this stuff. And I've literally seen many of the camp kids walk out with brand new, you know, back then the white plastic MacBooks.
Holy crap.
And, you know, or iMac. So it definitely works for sales, but I don't find it as douchey as like an infomercial, you know what I mean? It's a little different because they did get a skill that many of them use. And the other thing that was always neat is, you know, I would only come out to do the trainings and it was because I was video and photography based. I would teach the iMovie class and the photos class, but it would be really unique a couple weeks later to have one of the kids come back and make a Genius Bar appointment just to show. Sorry, I'm like actually tearing up. It's pretty funny. The little kids would come in and be like, uncle, you know, in Hawaii, they call all adults uncle, right? Uncle, look what I made. You know, and they were so proud to show you the film that they made. And, you know, there's some kids doing skateboard films. Some kids would, you know, do various films. And this one kid made a film to describe his sister with autism and like what he had to learn to become like a better brother. And like he showed it to us at the Genius Bar. And you got like a bunch of 6-foot dude sitting at the Genius Bar like crying because a little kid made this really cool movie, you know. So I find, to me, camp means a little more than just Apple trying to sell more stuff, but trust me, they do sell more stuff.
Yeah, I'm sure there is that element to it, but,
yeah.
Last story, SanDisk has released the iXpand. This is a case for your iPhone that adds 128 gigs of storage, up to 128 gigs of storage to your media and stuff. Also, there is a battery option coming with this, unquote, but I don't know when that is. I've just tried to locate the item on Amazon, because allegedly it's on Amazon, but I found it in the US store, but I can't find it in the UK store.
How much is it? Seriously, you ain't going to make me buy something.
This is the thing. It's $129 bucks for 128 gig extra. Which,
heck no.
That's you're being parted by from $129 bucks in the next 30 seconds, Doc, and you know it.
No, I'm not. Not at that price, because I just bought a 200 gig SanDisk thing for $49.
Yeah, but I'm talking about something that plugs onto your iPhone, man.
I got a 128 and it's not full.
Yeah, I'm not either, but that's not the point. You're missing the point, mate. It's the ability to spend money unnecessarily.
Yeah, I'm looking at it.
Oh, is that, is that it?
US yeah, you're hovering. You know you're hovering.
I kind of wanted just to do a review and play with it, but I'd probably send it back.
I'd be happy with it as a backup. Bronwyn's put that in the chat room, and I'd love it if there was an extra battery on top of it as well as. That would be cool. Really cool.
Yeah. I can't find it in the store. What the heck?
I put a link in the chat room. The thing is, because the word iExpand is only in there once, and the word SanDisk is in there, but it starts off with the SDIPBNC128G GN70S, which of course is snappy and rolls off the tongue far better.
Because the expand just turns out that was this flippy little USB bracelet thing that they had going on. That's what was taking up all the space.
iExpand is a brand for some of the stuff that they've got.
129. You know, maybe I would buy the 64 gig at no, you can't do that, because it's only $20 cheaper than 100.
You could put a crap ton of movies on there for a train or a plane journey or something like that, though. That would be really cool.
Yeah.
But then why didn't you buy the 256 to start with?
Yeah. Sorry, Chuck.
Yeah, sorry, Doc. Yeah.
It only has 3 stars, but it's only one customer, so I can't blame that person. They probably don't know what they're
doing. So the other thing is as well, that the price difference, is that bigger than, that's not bigger than the price difference that Apple charges to go from the 64 to the 128, is it?
No.
So you could save yourself money.
Yeah, I could see where, like, if I had bought a 64 and I found myself up against it, like I would probably by this point, I can see myself getting it, but I'm damn it, Ewan, part of me wants to just be curious.
But here's the thing that always pisses me off about these devices. They spend the money on the licensing for the Lightning connector to go into the phone, and then they charge it on micro USB. And this is the same. It charges on micro USB.
See, that's dumb.
That is dumb.
The same thing. And then I had a movie knockoff from China where it had the Lightning to charge through it. And I loved it. And I was like, why is this not normal? But you just described why it's not normal.
There you go.
Oh, the red one does look a little cool. It's kind of Manchester United-y.
Oh, no. There we go.
Oh, gosh.
We've hit Doc's sweet spot. We've had a review. Thank you very much to anyone who leaves reviews for any of the shows. Please, please, please give us reviews, because they make a world of difference to us in iTunes. Mac Show is obviously now, but also Big Show. We haven't had a review for the Big Show for a few weeks, so that'd be great. This one is from Sis Goss. Rather good. If you're into the latest and greatest news from everyone's favorite Californian tech giant, then this is the podcast for you. Every week, the incredibly intelligent, humorous, and opinionated guests tackle the ever-changing news and rumors surrounding Apple and its catalog of devices, all while keeping a feel of friends having a chat, and yet in check by a charismatic host, Leo No, wait, that's the other one. Oh, right. No, this is the one with the Brummy bloke. Oh, okay. Well, it is pretty good. I guess it's a fairly top podcast. I've been listening for a couple of years, part of my weekly listen. Keep up fantastic work. Thank you, Sis Goss. Superb. You had me there for a bit, I have to say. This podcast and all the others is brought to you by UK2. They're fantastic. Support them, because they support us. We say it every week, but you know, that's it. And they've been around us now for 8 years. 8 years, and we're into the 9th, and they've looked after us. They picked up all the bandwidth back when bandwidth charges could be the price of a house payment, and they've never batted an eyelid. They've just looked after us, plain and simple. Anything you want for the web, domains, co-location services, hosting, VPS, VPN, dedicated servers, shared servers, anything like that, then go to UK2. If you go britishtechnetwork.com/UK2, you can sign into your account. If you go /sponsors, the whole pile of discount codes that are in there, and they'll get you up to 20%. 20% off your basket. And they will get you 20% off your basket if you're a returning customer. And you ring up sales and tell them you're a returning customer and give them the code. You just got to ring them up. Well worth it. And also check out Hoya, because Hoya have been looking after us now for a while. They've got some great new specs out there at the moment. These are the top loaders. So instead of 2 points of attachment, this is a milled lens that's going into one single point of attachment. The stress on the lens is non-existent, effectively. And they look beautiful. There's several versions of these out there to have a look at. They look absolutely great. I think Muller's got a pair coming, but I can't remember. Hoya have been looking after us. So again, please look after them. Look after the people that look after you. If you want some Hoya lenses and you want to inquire about them, there's no obligation. You can go and have a fitting at a local optician's, and there's no cost to that at all. The rep from Hoya will come down, will sit and do the measurement with the iPad and all that kind of thing, and say, well, this is how much it's going to cost for what you want for your prescription. And if you want to go ahead, you can. And if you don't, you just say, nope, sorry, and you walk out the optician's, and that's the end of it. Done and dusted. Send an email to podcast@hoya.co.uk, and one of the sales team will get in touch with you and arrange an appointment to meet up at your local opticians. And one of the things that Hoya have said to us is the best thing that the BTN Army can do is to get out there and go up to any opticians that's in the high street and say, excuse me, do you stock Hoya lenses? And if they say yes, arrange yourself an appointment or something and go, oh, that's good. And if they say no, go, well, that's a shame, and walk away. That's all you got to do. Yeah. And if you want to send the name of that opticians through to podcast@hoya.co.uk, one of their sales team will turn up and go, hey, you don't stock Hoya lenses. That would be a great help to them. Right, time for the cool thing. Doc, start us off.
I wanted to talk about an app that I heard it in a bunch of different podcasts, and I kind of slogged it off as, okay, that's a little bit cheesy. But then I decided to just give it a try and stop slogging it off, because it's something that I used to do back when I was one of those douchey self-help book reading types. And the application is known as 5-Minute Journal. Okay. I think the actual App Store title is 5Journal or something. Anyway, what basically you do is you get up in the morning, you open up this app, and it prods you with a couple of questions like, you know, what do you want to do today? What are you thankful for? What are you grateful for? What are your affirmations for today? What are your like top plans for today? You kind of just write this stuff in it really quick. And in theory is that psychologically, by putting these things on writing them down instead of having them floating around in your head, it frees your mind up for other stuff. But at the same token, it also gives you something to look back on and reflect on, whatever. So I've been playing with the app for about a month now, and I absolutely love it. It's kind of weird that something as simple as one of the first things you do when you wake up is to, you know, grab your breakfast tea and, you know, sat down and jot a couple of notes really quick in the app. But I kind of look forward to what are the questions that they're going to prod you with. And then also kind of look forward to going back and looking at it and see how I did for the day. And I have been able to, you know, be a little bit more efficient on various things, but it's just fun to get it out of your head, because it kind of loosens your brain up to think about other stuff. So it's a cool app. It's fun. I would say give it a try. It's free. It's, you know, but I love it anyway. It's cool.
Good choice. Chuck, what have you got for us, mate?
I've got a revision to one of my favorite apps that I'm excited about. And I've, full disclosure here, I've been beta testing it now for a while, but BusyCal 3 is out. And BusyCal is my calendar of choice. I rely on it to make sure that I show up for things like the Mac show on time. But they've redone the interface. They've added some great new features. We now have time to do's. You have travel time that can be included, that you can put in how much travel time you think you have to an appointment, or it can integrate with Apple Maps and it can figure out the travel time. So many great things. Let's see, I've got to look at them all. There's a new info panel. There's a new menu bar app. It's got now smooth constant scrolling, so you're not just looking at a given month at a time, but you can look at, you know, as many weeks as you want in between months. That's great. Arguably best of all, though, now there's a BusyCal app, iOS app, for the phone. Yep. So now I don't have any more trying to balance this app has this capabilities on my Mac and this app has capabilities on my phone. Now it's all under the BusyCal banner. It integrates with BusyContacts, their contact manager. and busy to do. Their task manager. I love the Busy Mac stuff. I have for a long time. And the fact that now I've got it everywhere just is going to make my life so much easier. And if you haven't tried it out, please go and check it out. I think you will really, really like it.
No, I've never got into BusyCal, I have to admit, but
it's awesome.
It's one of those things that I think all of those kind of apps are, you know, fantastical and all that kind of stuff. If you take to them, you really take to them. And if you don't, you just don't. And it's a very personal experience, but it's good that it's working for you, mate, because at the moment, I've got to say, I've not found anything that really works for me.
But the cool thing is,
I'm working out that I could be the problem. I'm working out that I could be the problem there. What did you say?
I say it's really cool if you have both the apps, the Cowl and the Contacts, and John Chaffee, the guy who basically makes all of this stuff, he actually used to live here in Hawaii, and he lived right down the street from us. So it's cool. The first time I ran into him at Macworld, we were discussing stuff. I was like, man, this guy looks familiar. I think I've seen him in a grocery store many a times. Just never made sense because there's a guy that lives in the mainland and writes these cool apps. I'm like, why the heck does it look like I've seen this guy at the Safeway? And then he's like, are you guys from Kailua? And I'm like, well, yeah, Karen's mom is there. And we're there like a couple times a week, you know, just taking care of her elderly parents. And he goes, yeah, I thought you guys looked familiar because Karen was with me at the last Macworld. And so come to find out that we used to kind of be neighbors. But yeah, this is really cool. And I've been beta testing the 3 for a while, and it's extremely awesome. It's different from most of the other calendar apps. Like it's deeply integrated. So I think just try it, Ewan, and you might take to it.
Cool. Yeah, I'll give it a go. Yeah. I'll try anything because I've just been, over the years, I've just got so frustrated. I like Sparrow. The interface on Sparrow really appealed to me, and I love Sparrow. But the problem I got then was that loads of the emails that I was sending from Sparrow, the end receivers would be going, nah, sent from an unsecure source, not having it. Even though it was a Gmail address, the Sparrow thing was leeching onto it and saying it was going, no, because it's not supported anymore because Google Mail bought it and killed it. So I hate it. I've got to go back to Mail App now, and it's just like, oh, Jesus, I feel so unclean.
I hate Mail App.
I feel so unclean every time I use it, but I haven't found anything better, so.
There's a new one that just got released, a beta. The regular app I used for a minute when it first came out, and I believe it's called Postbox.
Right.
Is that for minute, Mac or iOS, Doc?
For Mac.
For Mac? Okay.
I'm trying to find the right. I just got the email recently, and they wanted me to jump back in on the new beta because the old one's been out for a minute, but I played with it for a while. It was really clean. It was a nice app. But I just, after having the same problem as you and with Sparrow and falling in love with Sparrow, Mail App just didn't do it anymore, so I just promised to stop using Mail directly in an application and just use the browsers.
Yeah, no, it is good. I'm going to give that a go, but I'm going to get heaps of derision for this, but I've got to say, I'm going back 20 years, I always really enjoyed the way Outlook integrated all three. Calendar, yeah. Contacts, appointments, it just worked. And no one's done it better since. Why Apple haven't tried to come up with a single app, I don't know.
I know exactly why. Trust me, this is a big problem. So in the Apple Store, one of the things that we always, always, always used to get is people coming in because their Outlook is crashed, right? And it was our fault, and so we needed to fix it. And at the time, what happened, and this is probably no longer an issue, mailboxes almost everywhere was designed for like a 2-gigabyte limit. And that's because no one ever thought people would ever amass 2 gigabytes worth of email. Well, once the services started letting attachments go to 25 megabytes a pop and not 2 megabytes a pop, you hit the 25 gig limit real quick. So circa iOS 3 and, you know, 8-megapixel camera, it just all went haywire. So everyone kept coming in with broken post boxes. And so the idea of storing all of your stuff in a single database that even if mail is the problem, would also kill your calendar, your notes, and your contacts didn't bode well with the Apple constituents. So they always thought if you leave them separate, you can fix the individual databases. I'm looking at you over here when I should look at you over here. Sorry. You know, you hold the option key when you start mail and it will rebuild your mailbox. But when you have this one cohesive PST file or post office box, there's no simple way to fill it. So one piece of corrupted data in a calendar invite could just jack your whole life. So Apple was always very shy of it because of that. I do believe modern Outlook has gone above that, and it's a much more robust database, if you will, and you wouldn't have that problem. And so I have been tempted, as you, Ewing, to take the Office 16 that I have and fire up Outlook and see if it's back to, because it is much easier to do emails from an app. But I've just been, what's the word, gun shy for so long. I've been doing it from just using gmail.com.
Yeah, if you want to know about camera technique, mate, this is the man to talk to. Look at that. Look at that. Never took his eyes off the screen the whole way through. And he takes his eyes off the minute I'm pointing at him. Jesus Christ, Chuck.
I had to see who you were talking about.
I should move when we do the shows, move the other monitor above, so that way I'm always here. But I'm always looking to the side because I have the live feed running here.
When it comes
and somehow I feel when I talk to you, I need to look at you. But
when it comes to presentation and camera technique, there is no one that comes on this network like this, man. No one.
Nope. And that tie is always awesome.
It is. My cool thing, now I've been learning the bass guitar, okay? I've been trying anyway. I'm not very good. But I'm
the guitar show, Lee Peterson.
Yeah, yeah. I've been learning bass guitar. So I wanted something that I could practice with but not drown out the, because I got neighbors, you know. So I got this on Amazon. It's the Vox bass guitar amp. There we go. And you're thinking, oh, Christ, that's a bit small.
What?
And it is. So basically, it's a personal preamp that fits in the in your bass guitar. So it's got a jack at the back. And the thing that's really cool is that the jack goes through 180. So you've got several positions that you can plug it into your guitar. And then the thing is, once you get it into your guitar underneath like that, because it's plugged into a socket, you've got 100 or 360 degrees of rotation here to have a look at it. On top of it, you've got your phones out so that you can hear yourself playing. And you've got a switch here which switches it on. And it's going to be a green light, so that's not going to work because I've got a green screen up. But there is a green light there because you can see straight through it if you look, see? But what's kind of cool is if you give this to the kids and you don't want the kids to blow their eardrums out, you can press it and it turns orange. And that limits the volume so that the kids can't deafen themselves. And then you've got a red setting as well, which means that it's even quieter so they can't kill themselves with it, which I think is really, really cool. And there's controls on the top, but here's the thing that ties it back into Apple is you've got an auxiliary out, which means you can stake it and stick it straight into your iPad or your iPhone and play it in GarageBand.
This is so cool.
£32, and it sounds amazing. You've got tone controls on the top and all sorts. It's brilliant. Really, really cool. Well worth the money. And it runs on two AA batteries, so...
So cool. I found the regular guitar one. I'm going to buy this for my brother.
Well, they do different versions. So there's a classic rock version, and there's also a heavy metal version of it as well that you can do. So there you go. And they're 32 quid. They're all 32 quid, regardless. It's probably about 35 bucks, isn't it? Something stupid on Prime.
$37.54.
Yeah.
So awesome. And the classic rock's a little more.
You can go into a tuner as well and back out again into your iPhone. There's loads. It's well worth the money. Well worth the money. Where can we get a hold of you, chaps? Doc?
You can find me all over the interwebs at DOCROCK and on this here network, being the crazy Yankee guy. I guess that's the best way to put it.
And Chuck, where are you, mate?
I'm at macvoices.com. You can find everything I do there. And follow me on Twitter as Chuck Joyner, and that's Joiner. And I'm still trying to figure out how Doc's a Yankee.
So you got MacStock coming up, right?
MacStock coming up in July, yes.
Yeah, I know. Are you guys going to be doing a session, do you think, during the middle of our show? Because that would be cool to get a live link.
Boy, I got to do the time zones. I'm not...
5 hours. Oh, you well, it's, no, Chicago, it's... you're six. Six back.
Six, so, and it's Saturday and Sunday, so...
Oh, no, we won't do the shows.
Yeah, sorry.
No, damn, that would be cool. Never mind. We'll do it one day. Manage Your Ranking, get me at Your Ranking on Twitter. We'll be back again Friday of next week for the live show, if you want to watch. And both shows will be on as normal. There we go. You can follow me at Your Ranking on Twitter. I might have said that. See you next week. Thanks for listening. Oh, don't forget the bash. Forgot about the bash. Don't forget to come to the bash because the bash is due. And we're only 4 weeks away now, so I've got to pay for the thing on Tuesday. And we will need you to buy your tickets, please. So please get your tickets for the bash. Phew, got that.